of God, a reading from John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. And now a reading from Acts 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God indeed. We're continuing our series this morning. We're Listen, Praying in a Noisy World, based on the late Bishop Reuben P. Job's book of the same name. We're talking about what it means to live in a world that is full of noise, is full of things that are occluding our ability to hear and understand God, and what it means to pray in that world. We're going to jump right into it this morning. We're going to begin with John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine. This is something you've probably heard before. Again, we're seeing Jesus, just like we did last week when we talked about the shepherd and we talked about Jesus and what he meant when he said that he was the shepherd and what he meant when he said that he would care for you as a shepherd cares for his sheep and he would love you the way that a shepherd loves his sheep. Now we're kind of seeing Jesus use a different metaphor, but it has the same idea. But this is a metaphor in three parts. He says, "I am the true vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener." This is a metaphor in three parts. God is the farmer. God is the vineyard holder here. God is the one responsible for caring for the health and life of the plant. Jesus says, "I am the vine," and that, of course, is telling us that he is the one from which the source of our lives, the source of our spiritual health, the source of the blessings that come from God, come from. And we are the branches. And the branches are where the fruit attaches. The branches are what produce fruit or get in the way, one or the other. This is a powerful and very poignant passage that comes from Christ. It's a very powerful and poignant opportunity for us to reflect on what Christ is calling us to do. Have you ever heard the phrase, "It's not who you know," or "It's not what you know, it's who you know," right? Heard that one probably a lot. they talk about that a lot in the realm of Ivy League universities, right? The real reason people are extraordinarily competitive to get into these Ivy League universities, Harvard, Yale, and they're willing to pay enormous tuition amounts isn't because the education is that much better. I'm sure it's better, and I'm sure they get the best professors, but it's because of the connections they'll make. It's because of the professors and the students and the people that they'll connect with that, you know, could land them, you know, the huge high-paying jobs that these people are aspiring to have. Many of the well-known tech entrepreneurs of the last couple decades who have revolutionized the way business works and the way we interact with the world came through connections, right? Every once in a while, somebody will comment on how Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and Mark Zuckerberg, the three biggest tech giants in the world, Microsoft, Facebook, and Apple. Steve Jobs has passed away, but the three of them, all three have one common theme, and that's that they dropped out of college. And so people like to say, well, that means if I drop out of college, I'll be successful, except that the three of them went to Ivy League universities. Two went to Harvard, and one went to Princeton. So, they were exceptional students and exceptionally ambitious. The real reason they dropped out is because they weren't going to wait for somebody else to come up with their idea once they had made those connections. And the reason I'm saying that, and it sounds kind of silly in the middle of a sermon to talk about business, but the reason is we know in our world, the way humans work, connections are everything, right? The people you know can make such an impact on how you live your life and how you go on about your life. Sometimes that's got a negative connotation, right? Sometimes we get frustrated when we've done something we believe really deserves being appreciated. We've done something that really deserves merit, but we didn't necessarily know the right people and we didn't have the right connections, and so somebody else maybe got what we thought we deserved. In a sense, that's what the parable of the vine is telling us. It's telling us that it's about connections. It's about not what you know, but who we know. Right? There is no theologian in the world, not any of the greatest theologians in the history of the universe, not Antoninus, not N.T. Wright, not any of these people in the history of the universe could ever pass a theological test given by God, right? Everything we think we know about God scratches the surface of who God really is. Maybe scratches the surface of who God really is. But it's not what we know. It's who we know. The parable of the vine tells us that we have a connection to God through Jesus Christ, and that our relationship with Christ is what connects us with God. First, let's consider God the vine grower. The role of the vine grower is to care for the vine. Jesus is the vine, right? If you've been out, in Missouri, there's a lot of beautiful vineyards all over the place, right? And I'm sure you've seen them. Usually up on trellises, and you have these big kind of ugly vines. Grapes are a funny plant because they're ugly, but they produce a very sweet fruit. But these vines, they grow up kind of gnarly, and they usually have them on trellises, and they tie them up and everything, and then they have these branches that come back down with the grapes on them. I've been doing some research and looking at what it looked like in the first century, and sometimes they did that. Oftentimes, though, they just let it grow along the ground. And so even along the ground, you would have these big, thick vines growing kind of every which way with branches spreading out, and the grapes or olives, we could have been talking about either, grapes or olives actually growing off of those branches and just kind of laying on the ground. But either way, it's pretty cool because the vine grower's responsibility is to care for that vine, to make sure that vine remains healthy so that the branches can be healthy so that they can produce fruit. Now, how does he do that? Well, with pruning shears, really, or whatever they had in the first century. I'm sure they had some sort of a tool. First off, dead branches have to go. Branches that aren't producing fruit are sapping nutrients from healthy branches. They're taking away resources. They're getting in the way. They're contributing to disease. They're decaying. They need to be cut off and removed. The other day, we found some weird little spots on our rose bushes, and I looked it up online, and it turned out to be some sort of an insect that burrows its way into the leaf. So, there was just a few spots, so we cut those leaves off, right? That was the easiest way to take care of these, was just to get rid of the leaves that were affected, right? They were still green, but they weren't going to be green much longer. A preemptive strike is to get rid of that which is unhealthy. At first glance, that's kind of a harsh criticism of us, really, right? If we're not producing fruit, God's going to get rid of us. I don't think that's necessarily how it works, but I think Jesus is telling us just how important it is to bear fruit, because when we're ineffective, we're as useless as a branch that the vine grower is going to remove. But Jesus wasn't giving a hellfire and brimstone sermon here. He was telling us about a promise, because he says, if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. What an incredible promise. Because that's the other part of it. The other part of it is that if we stay just attached to the vine, we don't have to be exceptional. If we stay attached to the vine, if we stay with Christ, we'll bear fruit. Because there's another role that the vine grower has, and that's to prune, right? That's to remove the bits and pieces of a healthy branch that aren't healthy and to trim it away now and then and cut it down just a little bit so that it continues to be healthy and produce much fruit. This is a big role that God has said that he'll take in our lives. This is God's role in caring for the vine. And this is Jesus' role in caring for us. The vine is the artery that feeds the plant. It carries all of the water and nutrients and everything else that it needs to produce fruit. But what's amazing, too, is that the vine itself doesn't produce fruit, nor does the vineyard grower. It's the branches that the fruit is attached to. The vine provides the nutrients. The vineyard grower will pick the fruit. But without the branches, there is no fruit. God has given us an extraordinary responsibility. God has placed us in an extraordinarily important position in our world because God has asked us to be the branches by which the fruit of God's Holy Spirit can be had in the world. And that means that we have to stay connected to the vine because God has an incredible call for us. Well, how do we do that? Right? So, I mean, it seems pretty obvious. If you read this passage in John chapter 15, it seems very obvious that we have a responsibility to produce this fruit. And the question that we ought to be asking ourselves is, how do we best do that? Well, we're talking about prayer this morning, right? So that seems like a great place to start. We're talking about listening and praying in a noisy world. Our world is so full of noises and static and things that get in the way of our understanding God. Not unlike weeds and other vines and other branches from other plants choking us off from our vine. Have you ever seen a garden that hasn't been taken care of very well, or a garden that's been run over, full of weeds and gnarly bushes and branches and maybe a little tiny plant that's struggling to survive? Ashley and I cleared out some brush down by the house and found a rose bush that we didn't even know existed because it was only about that tall. It was green, didn't have any roses on it. But it was only about that tall because it was choked out by bushes and weeds and all kinds of nasty stuff. And I'm hoping it grows and produces fruit this year. But I mean, we know how that works. We know that if it gets choked out with too much else going on, then it doesn't produce fruit. It struggles to even survive. So praying in a noisy world means praying for God to prune away the excess. Praying for God to provide us with the nutrients we need. Abiding in Christ means prayer. It means communing with Christ. It means communing with one another. It means being with Christ. Abide is an incredibly important word. Our relationship with Christ is essential, and we can't do it alone. Interestingly, the word prune that Jesus uses, there's a couple words he could have used for prune. But he used a Greek word, kakeri. This Greek word also means cleanse. It can be used in either context. He chooses that word, I believe, on purpose. I don't believe Jesus uses funny words for no reason. I don't believe that there was nothing unintentional about the choice of words here. We understand that being pruned away and having the excess taken away is a cleansing. It's a return to a fruitful life in Christ. Jesus says that you have been cleansed. He says cleansed this time, same word though. He says you have been cleansed by my word. By staying with Christ, by staying in the scriptures, we are pruned away from the noise and the things of the world that help us and hurt us from seeing God. This week, your scripture lessons, many of them are for Romans, I want to really encourage you to think about how God is helping you to grow through the scripture. Right, each day this week, I've been challenging you through this whole series to read these short passages and to pray over them. And to spend intentional time in prayer, right? To sit, I don't know how many of you have been doing it, I hope most of you, but to sit with intentional time in prayer where you're doing nothing else but praying and praying over these scriptures. Well, what's great about this, and what's great about this call from Jesus is that this intentional prayer time does something for us. We're not doing it for God's benefit, we're doing it for our benefit. That's what's incredible. We don't pray because it's some penance that we have to do because God will punish us if we don't. We pray because God loves us and wants us to get something out of this life, and that's the way we do it, by abiding in Christ, by staying connected to Christ and staying connected to the vine. My prayer for us this week is that we can earnestly fulfill our call to abide in Christ and to grow as the branches and build from the vine. Our passage from Acts is the story of Philip and the eunuch, and at first glance, it may not seem to have anything to do with the vine grower story, right? It's kind of a short, interesting story. Philip is in the right place at the right time, right? The author of Acts makes it very clear to help us to understand that he was placed there by the Holy Spirit. God says, I need you to be somewhere. And up comes a eunuch who was a member of the queen's court. And this wasn't particularly uncommon. This is a male-dominated society in this time period. So there weren't a lot of things that women could do. The other problem is there wasn't a lot of trust for women. Hey, it is what it is. Thankfully, we've progressed since then, and we've become better human beings. But people didn't like the idea of a female queen having male servants, unless they were eunuchs. That was okay because, well, they weren't really interested anyway, so it wasn't a big deal. So this wasn't uncommon for eunuchs to serve as special aides or liaisons for queens and princesses and the like and other female royalty in the period. So he's nothing unusual, but he shows up, and here's Philip. And Philip walks up, and he looks at him, and he says, how can you understand what you're reading? And the response is perfect. He says, well, I can't if someone doesn't help me. We're kind of, humans are weird. Have you ever noticed that? Humans are kind of strange. But we're also pretty arrogant. Right? We're pretty proud of ourselves most of the time. And a lot of times, we think that the way to read the Bible is to open it up, read a few passages, form an opinion, and that must be right. We often don't have the humbleness of character to say, I wonder if I'm supposed to be getting something out of this that might be different than what I thought. I wonder if I might be wrong. I posted it on Facebook the other day. I love the Charles Schulz cartoon where Snoopy and Woodstock are sitting on the doghouse, and Snoopy says, I'm writing a book about theology. And Woodstock says, oh, what's the title? And Snoopy says, has it ever occurred to you that you might be wrong? That's the title of Snoopy's book on theology. But see, that's what this story is understanding. This little short exchange is understanding that, hey, we are not supposed to do this alone. We're not supposed to be Christians by ourselves. So they begin to speak. They begin to talk together. You get the idea. That they're spending time with each other talking about this passage in Scripture. This is long, long, long before verses and chapters read into the Bible. Those numbers were added much later by a scribe. But so they're just kind of quoting passages, quoting bits and pieces of Scripture, and talking about it, what it means, and praying about it. And the eunuch has this passion inside his heart. The Holy Spirit comes on, and first water he sees, he wants to be baptized, right? He gets this excitement, this passion about baptism, and he gets this excitement and passion about studying the Scripture. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the nutrients flowing from the vine to a once-dead branch to make it bear fruit again. And what does that mean for us? Well, it means that we have got to do this thing with God and with each other. When we worship together, when we pray together, we can accomplish amazing things. My prayer for us this week is that we would figure out what that means in our lives, to be connected to one another, to really earnestly look at the Scriptures, to really abide in Christ and in the Word, right? Jesus tells us that we have to abide in the Scriptures and to abide in Him. That means we have to spend time with Him. We have to absorb ourselves into them. We have to study them and not just read them passively. And we have to really pray about how God is expecting us to grow from what we read. God intends for you to learn something. When you crack that book open, when you're looking at these Scriptures, even if you've read them before, even if you are such a Bible scholar that you can look at those and recite them just by looking at the chapter and verse numbers, God intends you to learn something when you sit down and read and pray. God intends you to grow in some way because of what these passages are telling you. That's what God has established for us. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our whole life. Plants never stop growing. You might have a huge tree in your yard, but it's still growing. It's going to produce new leaves next year, just like it did this year. And it's going to grow just a little bit. It never stopped growing. And it's incredible. We are the branches, and we will never stop growing. We will never stop producing fruit. The day we stop growing is the day we die. It's the day that we no longer produce fruit. It's the day that we no longer become who God calls us to be. And I don't think that's who we want to be. So friends, my prayer for us this week is that we would really dive in to our prayer lives. We're getting really high gear. We're finishing up this series. We're coming close to the end. And we've been talking about prayer. I hope, I really sincerely hope that it has encouraged us and that it has made us think about our prayer lives and how that should be more intentional. And I hope at this point that we have really understood the importance of being excruciatingly intentional with our prayer, excruciatingly intentional with the way we look at scriptures, with an understanding that that is the responsibility. To have the fire in our hearts, like the eunuch, that just desires an incredible amount of love for God, and to pair that with an understanding that we are the branches attached to Christ's vine, and that we have a responsibility to bear fruit for God. God has called us to do extraordinary things every day. Every day, God has something for you to get done. My prayer for us this week is that you and I would figure out a way to fulfill that call. Amen.